Hello, Bulldogs. Thank you for tuning in to Who's Behind the Bulldog. I'm your host and one of the assistant principals at Arvada High School, Jeremy Jensen. Each week, I'll sit down with someone from our Arvada community, be it staff, students, families, or other community members, to hear their stories. We'll discuss their past histories, present successes and challenges, as well as their future hopes and dreams. I hope you find some connections in their stories, learn a few things from and about them, and hopefully take some time to get to know them a bit better as our school year progresses. We have an amazing community here at Arvada, and I hope we can continue to strengthen that despite the challenges that await us in these uncertain times. This week's guest is Sarah Milius. Sarah is a special education teacher. This year, Sarah is co-teaching sections of Geographic Studies, Physical Science, Algebra 1, and Geometry. In our conversation, Sarah talks about her time in Minnesota and what led her to become a special education teacher. She also discusses projects she has used in the past, including an awesome civics project that she previously used. She also talks about her views on equity in education, provides advice for other educators, and talks about what she's looking forward to this school year. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Who's Behind the Bulldog. Hey, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today for Who's Behind the Bulldog.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what brought you into education.
So I'm a Colorado native. I grew up with a mom who's a teacher. She's actually a special ed teacher as well. But I was not one of those people that knew from an early age I wanted to be a teacher. I actually went through a lot of my life wanting to be a lawyer. And kind of late in college, I started to rethink that and wasn't so sure that's what I wanted to do. And after college, I took a year to volunteer in a program similar to AmeriCorps. And I worked at the Gathering Place in Denver, which is a homeless shelter for women and children. And I worked specifically with the kids there. And I think it was really that experience that led me to think more seriously about going into teaching. I worked with a lot of kids whose lives were chaotic, to say the least. And school was kind of their one safe place. And in the summer in particular, they really missed that safe place. And the Gathering Place kind of got to become that place for them on breaks and in the summer. And so after that, I decided to go back to school. I moved to Minnesota, which is where I went to college and went to grad school, and also worked in Minneapolis public schools through that time as a dropout prevention coordinator. So worked in the schools to make sure that's what I wanted to do. And so did a lot of work just with high schoolers who, you know, the data indicated they were at high risk of dropping out, and did a lot of case management with that group while I went to school for my teaching license. So that was kind of my roundabout way to get there. So I was happy to have some of those experiences before I stepped into the classroom. I know there's plenty of people that can jump right out of college into the classroom. I was not one of those. And so I was happy to have some of that experience.
Awesome. My sister lives in Minneapolis. How did you like Minnesota, and what brought you back to Colorado?
I really love Minnesota, except in the winter. So I went to college there and I loved it. There's great people there, but my family's here. And so after I got married, we kind of decided to settle here before we had kids. So, yeah.
Awesome. So once you got back here, what brought you to Arvada?
So I got a job when we moved back here in Mapleton. I worked at a small school called North Valley School for Young Adults. It's an alternative school in Mapleton. We had about 60 to 75 students, and they were all 17 to 21. And all of them were behind for various reasons on graduation. Some had dropped out and come back. Some had just had traumatic things happen in their lives and had left for a little bit. And others just failed all their classes freshman year and now were in a tough spot. And so I worked there for 7 years. I taught social studies most of that time. I taught mostly civics, world history, and US history. And then I also did math and reading intervention. And through that math and reading intervention, I really loved that. I loved the small group focus. I really liked the one-on-one with students. I liked looking into the student is struggling at reading and trying to kind of put together the puzzle of what it is. Why is that student struggling? And so through that experience, I ended up getting licensed in special ed and worked a lot with our sped teacher at the time. Worked really closely with her. So the last 2 years I was at North Valley, I also did a small caseload of students with IEPs and was their case manager. And then I decided I wanted to do full-time special ed, and so I went to another school in Mapleton called Mesa, and that's where I was for the last 2 years. Little bigger school, has about 750 students, but ages are grades 7 through 12, so it was really interesting to have the middle and high school. The middle school was super challenging, especially because I was used to students who were just at such a different point maturity-wise. I was with 17 to 21-year-olds and then jumped into the 7th grade classroom, and it was a shock. And so had a couple years there, got some experience with special ed, and then just kind of decided last year to look outside the district a little for a different experience, and so ended up at Arvada. So yeah, that's what brought me here.
Awesome. Lucky for us. So would you say that at your heart, you're more of a high school geared person than a middle school?
I think definitely more high school than middle school. I play with the idea of someday doing elementary as well. But yeah, I don't know if I have that. Some people are great in middle school. I'm not sure I'm one of those.
I don't have much experience in middle school. I started off my first 10 years in education was in elementary, and then I jumped to high school and didn't and just skipped that middle ground. And I think there's like good reason. More power to middle school teachers, but I think it takes a special sort to be able to like work with like the prepubescent teens of this world, preteens. Sarah, what are some things that you're particularly proud of in your time as an educator so far?
I think, I think of really specific students who I've had success with and kind of like I feel like have helped them discover their own talents, their own potential. Students, I can think of several students who really, really struggled in math, and I did some math intervention classes and was able to sort of work with students to overcome more than anything just that mindset that they couldn't do math, and had some real success with those students, walking away from high school feeling like, okay, like I can do math. And I think those moments, like I think of specific students that really make me the most proud. I also was thinking of, last spring was really hard for everyone in the shift to remote. And just, I feel like at least now we kind of knew what to expect, but it was such a shock last spring. And again, I can think of specific students, even in that chaos, that really just like they did awesome. And kind of were on, Google Meet with me every day, trying to make their grades okay, and just kind of that. It was really easy to get lost in the students who were not doing well, but like now that I think back, and like there were some students who really did well, all things considered. So I think those are the things that make me most proud.
That's awesome. And it's at the end of the day, it's about our kids. It's about the students. That's why we're here. It's so easy to like kind of walk away from a day and be like, man, that could have been more successful. But then it's good to like think big picture and be like, you know what? All these kids actually, like, there's a lot of kids that had so much success. And so that's great. That's a good heartwarming story, Sarah. How do you best engage your students? What are some of the strategies that you use to bring learning to life for them?
So I think of I had this really wonderful principal when I started teaching my first couple years of teaching. She was my principal, and she taught me a lot of just like you have to be true to yourself. Like I think I was stuck in this like I'm an introvert and I like am not gonna get up in front of a class and like dance and entertain. That's just not who I am. And she definitely was that entertainer. But she just really coached me on like finding what worked for me, and that kids really see through if you're trying to be something you're not, like they see right through that. And so I think just sort of finding that balance for me of like, I really like to like hold students to standards, and I like to get to know them really well. And I think over time students learn that like, I've got their back, like I'm loyal to them. And I work really hard to engage them by learning about who they are and asking them and taking the time to remember things. And maybe, you know, I think I have a particular, like I can really connect sometimes with students that other teachers I think struggle with. I think a lot of students pass off shy kids or quiet kids as just like disengaged. And I think I often see them in a really different light because I was that kid. And so to just give them an opportunity to share who they are and you know, have a teacher that really connects with them in that way. And I often tell students, like, I was shy too. Like, you know, it's okay. You don't have to talk in front of this group, but I want to hear what you have to say in another way. So.
Love that answer, the authenticity, being true to who you are, right?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about projects either that you've used this year or in the past or that you've been involved with. Which ones come to mind for you that are most connecting to students?
So when I taught civics, it was really fun to teach civics because students were at an age where they, most of them could vote, like they were getting ready to step into the world. And so it was a really, I loved teaching it. And I had this partnership with the CU Law School. And we did this, it was called Marshall Brennan Constitutional Law. And we had students from the law school came to my class once a week and taught the class. And they taught about constitutional law. And students, you know, love to ask questions like, you know, well, what if I get pulled over for this? And what if I, you know, and they were these soon to be lawyers answering these questions. And then it all led up to a project of a moot court competition where they stood, we took a trip to CU and they stood in front of real lawyers and who asked them questions. And it was a really, really cool program. And I saw students who, you know, never thought they could present in front of people getting up there, and they got to do three rounds. So the first round they were always like shaking and they were so nervous. And by the third one, they were like, oh, I think I can do this. And so it was a really neat, like very real world kind of things where students liked the topics. And I even had a student that won a trip to DC through the program. And so it was this really cool like thing. The whole program was aimed at students who don't, their schools don't typically participate in things like mock trial and those kind of things. And so the other students they were up against were coming from similar backgrounds. And so it kind of was this neat thing. So that's, I mean, that was probably my favorite. I did that for like 5 years. And so that was a really neat project that we did every semester. And then I think this year I'm in geographic studies with Kyle and Lauren. And so we've been doing the trip around the world project, which has just been fun for students to, you know, I'll have students call me over when we were in person, you know, and say, Miss, look at this, like, can you believe this place exists? And just kind of opening up their worldview to realize like there are all these great places out there. And that, you know, there's this whole huge world that they could explore. So that's been pretty neat.
Yeah, that project is awesome. And it sounds like the project that you're talking about in civics could be something that could be huge. I'm sure those kids like really connected with that and like were really empowered, especially with like, you know, with the competition side of things and winning that trip to DC. That's fantastic. Talk with me a little bit, Sarah, about equity. And from your side of things, from your perspective, what does an equitable education look like for our students?
So I think equity, you know, just like the definition is providing students with what they need. You know, I think of in the context of special education, like I think the purpose of an IEP is to create equity for students with learning disabilities, for students with other disabilities, that it really does provide the things that they need. You know, what are the things they need in order to access that curriculum? And so I think about that in the context of special ed, but I also think about that in the bigger context of just students in general. You know, like, what does a student need from teachers? And that might look like, you know, this student just needs a lot of extra positive reinforcement, or this student just needs extra, you know, extra structure in place, or whatever that looks like. And I think the key to that is that we have to know our students and know what they need. And sometimes that can be really difficult, I think, especially in remote world. It's hard to know what's going on for our students. And I think equity also, you know, it's knowing what's going on for our students, but not allowing that to become like an excuse for why students aren't doing the work, but allowing it to be more like, okay, you've got this thing going on, so what are we going to do to help you get over that? And so we're not like lowering the expectations because they have this, you know, hard situation going on in their lives, but rather like, how can we work around that? What can we do to support you through this? So that's what equity is to me.
Say a little bit more about the remote side of things with equity. Have you found anything this year, any tips or tricks that seem to maybe be working or that you would like to start trying when we come back from the break?
I mean, I was happy to hear that there's some like tutoring that's going to happen, because I think I have a lot of students who really want like that one-on-one with a teacher. And they want, you know, a teacher who can really sit down with them and look at exactly what they're working on, or a small group. And I think it's just really difficult for teachers to find time in the day to do that. I've been trying to do that more on Fridays, just with asynchronous time to kind of schedule one-on-one time with students to do that. I think it's hard because, you know, I had students who were supposed to come meet with me today and I had about half of them come. And I think that's the challenge of like, how much do I put on them? You know, should I have called home and made sure they knew that they were supposed to sign up? Or is it just kind of like, at some point it has to be their responsibility? And I think that's hard. So I don't know if I have anything. I think more of that personal connection. I think breakout rooms are really great because they allow students to go away from that big Zoom room and kind of chat with each other a little. Like, I love when I bounce into a breakout room and students are like being goofy together, like even though they're not doing what they're supposed to, like I just think it's what they need, as opposed to when I bounce in and it's just totally silent black boxes. Like, I would prefer the like they're playing music, they're laughing together, that kind of thing. And I've seen that more, definitely since we were in person for a little while. I think it allowed kids to reconnect, and then now they're able to get to that point a little more.
Absolutely. In fact, Ogie and White, I don't know if you were in that one this morning, they did a little session about things that are working for them, and they like start off class for the first few minutes and just like are just kind of like hamming it up with the students, and they said that that's where they get a lot of engagement, a lot of people just kind of warming up to being part of that class. So yeah, I 100% agree. Like, it's so fun to pop into a breakout room and start joking around with people, because that feels real. That feels like more like we would do when we were in person, right? And that's what kids like really are missing right now. So you're thinking about the rest of the school year, when we come back from our Thanksgiving break and into second semester, anything that you're really excited about?
I'm excited. Like, I feel like you know, the first few months at a new school are just kind of like, I just had to get my feet under me a little bit and learn, you know, with co-teaching. I think it's a process to get to know teachers you're working with and what is their style. And so I'm excited to kind of jump into second semester, able to do more of like the planning and the modifying work and that kind of stuff. Cause I feel like it took me a while to know what the teachers were expecting and kind of figure out that how that collaboration was going to work. So I'm just excited to kind of have those first few months under me, and I feel like I can roll with it a little bit better.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we're balancing multiple things, right? We're balancing the beginning of a school year, we're balancing a completely different modality and pandemic, and, you know, so like, I'm also hopeful that, you know, we're going to find a different stride when we come back, because, you know, it's been a lot of the pivoting and figuring things out and iteration. So, Sarah, what are some of your biggest like instructional goals for yourself this year?
I think I definitely thinking about co-teaching. This is the first time I've been part of a real co-teaching model. And so I think just, you know, how can I do a better job of helping to design work for specific students that they can do more independently? I think a lot of like what I've spent this semester doing is like trying to just work with students to catch them up all the time instead of like, here is this assignment that meets the same standard, but I know it's at a level that these students can do. I think that is much more beneficial. I want them to feel like they can learn independently, and that they don't always have to have someone, you know, coaching them through every step of the way. And so I think my goal is to just find, you know, to be able to provide more of the planning piece for the classes that I co-teach and provide more resources for teachers to give out to students, in particular students with IEPs. So.
That's great. Sarah, what would you consider in reflection of all things past to be your best failure?
I think I can think of situations where I feel like I kind of failed students, meaning I maybe gave up on them too quickly, or I sort of allowed what other people told me about them to completely change the way I thought of them. In particular, when you work at an alternative school for a while, you get a lot of students who have a lot of baggage coming in. And sometimes that could really change the way I viewed students. And I think, you know, one of my biggest regrets is that I sometimes allowed that to happen, instead of being able to just work with students fresh. Because there were some that I think the school system, including this alternative school, kind of helped. And so, you know, I think I can say that I was part of that, and looking back and reflecting on how I could have done that differently.
So what is your big advice for other educators?
So I did my student teaching, actually in Minneapolis, and the teacher there gave me this, on my last day of student teaching, he gave me this like manila folder, and it was filled with letters from the students, and on the outside it said good stuff. And he said, keep this and fill it with everything good, because there's lots of days you'll need that. And I think, and I've done that, and I've kept letters from students over the years, or just even like things from parents, that on hard days I can get out this folder and I can be reminded that what I'm doing does make a difference and it matters. And so I would tell teachers to do that, whether that's a folder in Google Drive or an actual physical folder, I would hang on to those good things because we all need them, especially this year. I think we need them more than usual. And so to just hold on to those.
Sarah, thank you so much for your time here. It's been really great connecting with you today. Thank you for everything you're doing for our kids, and thank you for hanging in there with this COVID situation. Thanks for being flexible and pivoting. And I just really, I really appreciate all of your professionalism that you've demonstrated since you joined us. And we're really lucky to have you on board as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here at Arvada.
Thank you all for tuning into today's podcast. I want to encourage you to take a minute to reach out to today's guest and make a personal connection. Until next time, this has been Jeremy Jensen with Who's Behind the Bulldog?